Good afternoon, Dr. Rip.
Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Okay, first off, what is a rip current?
Yeah, well, I guess a simple definition of a rip current is it's something that occurs on surf beaches, and it's like a river of the ocean or a river of the sea. And most rip currents, like rivers, sort of occupy deep channels, and they flow in one direction. And in the case of rip currents, they start very close to the shoreline. They might be 10 or 20 meters wide, maybe a little bit bigger, and they'll flow all the way through the surf and various distances beyond where the waves are breaking.
All right. How can we spot a rip current?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of clues. And if you know what those clues are, that really helps. But the most common type of rip current sits in these deep channels between the sandbars. So because that water is deeper, it looks darker. And there's less waves breaking in those channels because the water is deeper. So if you're standing at an elevation, and it's always good to look down on a beach, that always helps spotting rip currents. You're sort of looking along the beach, and you've got areas of white water where there's lots of waves breaking, and that's generally in the shallower areas. But if you can see these dark, narrow gap between the white water that is sort of heading almost like a path offshore, and it's mostly dark, it looks like a road, really, that's the main indicator, is these dark gaps between the white water. So there's a nice little saying that I have called white is nice, green is mean. And in terms of rip currents, white is nice because that means it's shallower, you can stand up, and that white water is bringing water back to the beach. Whereas those dark green gaps that are heading out through the surf are mean because it's deeper water and it's a rip current. So you're really looking for that visual contrast.
So in this case, a white water is good.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't like breaking waves.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the way that rips work is that waves will break on sandbars and all that water will be pushed towards the beach and will pile up, and it's got to get back out. And one of the most effective ways of getting that water back out is through these gaps, these channels that exist through sandbars.
How close to the beach can these occur? Like, how close to the shoreline?
Oh, they can really initiate right at the shoreline. And often another way to spot them is because these rip currents that are channelized can get stuck in the same place for days, weeks, and sometimes months. And they carve out, they erode out this little bowl in the beach. So if you see this if you're looking down the beach and you see these big embayments carved out, chances are there's a rip current heading out through that. And that's where they start. Now, they don't start flowing fast immediately from the beach. They start off very slow, and sometimes you have these, they can start by flowing along the beach, and then they go out. And if you're wading in that water, you might not feel much at all. But if you get a little bit deeper into the main part of the rip, and you're standing up to waist depth or even higher, that water starts to build in speed. And then if you lose your footing, you know, you're just going to go with the flow. So they increase from speed from the shoreline out through what we call the surf zone, and then they flow very fast through the surf zone. And then once you get past the breaking waves, they've done their job. They've returned most of that water seaward, so they slow down.
How far out and how fast can a rip current take you?
How far they flow really depends on a lot of factors. And, you know, the bigger the waves, generally the further you'll go offshore. Sometimes these rip currents will circulate. So if you were just floating in the rip, they would take you out to the outer line of breaking waves and then sort of bring you back in. But all rips have this habit of every now and then pushing offshore, and their velocity increases. And they can take you 10, 20, 30 meters or more beyond the breaking waves. But it's really quite variable, and it depends on the shape of the beach and the sandbar configuration and the size of the waves and the type of the rip. Some rips are located against rocks and headlands, and they tend to flow further out. But all rips flow pretty fast. I mean, an average speed is about, even on a beautiful day when the waves are, you know, not that big, an average speed would be up to about half a meter per second. Now, if you're standing waist deep in half a meter per second, you'd find it hard to stay in place. But what they all do is they have this tendency to pulse, which is they subtly increase in speed. And that pulse might last for 30 seconds or a minute. And then you can get speeds of 1 meter per second, 2 meters per second, and 2 meters per second. You're talking Olympic swimming speed. So they can flow fast, but not all the time.
And there's a little bit of confusion between the rip current and a few other occurrences of the ocean, like rip tides or undertows. Could you shed a little light on the difference between these phenomena?
Yeah, I mean, undertow is not a good word to describe rips, because rips, despite what people might think, do not pull you under the water. And we don't like using the word undertow because I think it implies panic. So somebody realizes they're heading offshore, they think they're caught in this undertow, they think they might be pulled under, but rips don't pull you under, they just take you for a ride. But there is a scientific phenomenon called undertow, because rips aren't the only way to get water back offshore. Water when waves break, all the white water you see is sort of at the top of the water, and that's pushing it towards the beach. But underneath, at the bottom, there's a nice, gentle return flow offshore that occurs everywhere. And that's what scientists refer to as undertow. So it is a real phenomenon, but it's not something that pulls you under. And it's a slow, gentle flow, I guess, from your knees down that occurs along all beaches. Riptide is used a lot. It's not a bad term, but it's a bit of a misnomer because rips are not a tide. A tide is a wave. You know, it occurs every 6 to 12 hours, so rips are a current. They're a very different phenomenon. There is a relationship between what the tide is doing and rip speed, though. So we generally find on beaches, for example, on the East Coast and around Sydney, that most rips will flow faster a couple hours either side of low tide because it's shallower. There's more waves breaking, and it's that wave breaking that really drives rip current flow. But they're not a tide.
Yeah, and we know there's surf hazard at many Australian beaches, but which ones have the most rip currents that frequently pop up in?
Yeah, I mean, any surf beach. So by surf beach, I mean a beach that has lots of breaking waves, it has lots of sandbars and channels. And in Australia, you know, you could draw a line through the middle of Australia. So rips really start in a big way from sort of Fraser Island, Queensland, down south, all the way around to just north of Perth. When you get north of those areas, you tend not to have as many breaking waves, so you don't have as many rip currents.
And finally, what should someone do if they find themselves caught in a rip current?
Yeah, well, this is a bit of a contentious issue because we've done a lot of research on this, actually, and we've tested people's responses and rip currents and different actions they can take. And it really depends on the individual, and it depends on their swimming ability and their experience, and it also depends on the rip. But, you know, there's two things you shouldn't do, and that is you shouldn't panic. And that is the big problem because everybody seems to panic, and panic overrides is an emotional response. It just overrides almost everything, and panic is what leads to drowning. So you really should try and remain calm and realize that you're not getting pulled under. You can float and rips take you for a ride. So the best thing really is to just relax and conserve your energy by floating. At least when you're floating, as I said, you're not spending energy. And if you can signal for help, that's the best thing to do. And there's a good chance that if the rip is recirculating by floating, you'll actually end up in shallow water anyway. But one of the main pieces of advice that's been around for a long time is swim parallel to the beach,
right,
which definitely can work for some people. But if you're not a good swimmer, it's not a good option. But even then, swimming, you know, not all rips flow straight offshore. They flow at angles. So sometimes swimming parallel can become problematic. But if you want to swim out of a rip and you're a good swimmer, I always say just look around and you're aiming for that white water. If you're seeing lots of waves breaking somewhere, try swimming towards that because that means it's shallower. You could probably stand up. And once you're out of the rip, you're sort of out of the rip. So it's really a combination of things, and it really depends on the individual. But I think the best thing is always just to relax and stay afloat in the first instance, just kind of figure out what's going on.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us, Rob, Dr. Rip.
No, no problem. Thanks for letting me chat about this because it's important.
We've
had shocking drowning numbers in the last few years in rips, and it's already started this year. So the more information, the better.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jonathan.